Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents six. The Drive with the Top Six at six.
How about six? Six is good.
Matt LaFleur, coach of the Packers, with reports out there that Aaron Rodgers, has told the Packers, I don't want to be here anymore. Not just friends and Pat McAfee and other folks, just told them, I'm out. Matt LaFleur today said this.
Yeah, Rob, I've got nothing new to update, and we still obviously feel the same way. It's, we want him back in the worst way. I know he knows that, and, we'll continue to work at it each and every day.
Okay. What do you think about LaFleur's comments?
Well, it sounds a little bit half-hearted, to be honest with you. He sounds a little bit resigned to the fact that they're probably headed towards a divorce. I don't see why Matt LaFleur would not want Aaron Rodgers on his team. I can't figure out any reason in the world why he would prefer to coach a football team without Aaron Rodgers. So I believe him that he wants Aaron Rodgers on the team. The real question is, who was involved with drafting Jordan Love? And was Matt LaFleur involved with that or not? Again, I don't know why in the world a rookie head coach would want to draft Jordan Love when he's got Aaron Rodgers on his team. But it's complicated. It's confusing.
You know, it's crazy. There's precedent.
Give it to me.
Not exactly a rookie, but the first thing that Josh McDaniels wanted to do was replace Cutler with Matt Castle.
That's a good example.
Makes no sense.
And he ends up with Kyle Orton instead.
Ends up with Kyle Orton. And then, fired. Ring in Richie.
Vic Fangio has told us that the quarterback competition is going to be a true 50-50. Now, go ahead and play what he had to say.
That'll be day by day. It's totally 50-50. Maybe I'll flip a coin to see who takes the absolute first snap.
Okay, I get it. It was a joke. He was joking about flipping a coin to see who takes the first snap. But the mere fact that it's not by default Drew Lock, your incumbent starter, the guy that has been in the building, the guy that you've been invested in, is that not just like an insane slap in the face that you wouldn't just say that Teddy Bridgewater has to beat out Drew Lock?
Oh, man, that's a really good question.
Okay, it was a joke. But there's always some truth behind the joke.
Mm-hmm. No, I think the coin flip is obviously a joke. But the 50-50 thing certainly isn't. And my question that I tried to, but wasn't able to ask is, well, if it's really truly 50-50... Once you decide on a guy, when does it not become 50-50? Meaning, if it's that close, it's that hard to figure out, you pick a guy, does that guy have a short rope? Yeah. I mean, after all, it was 50-50.
Yeah, that's a good question. My guess that the answer to that is that if Teddy Bridgewater wins the job from day one, he's your guy, and you're probably not turning to Drew Lock ever. If Drew Lock is your starter, I think that he will have a short leash, and if he has a game or two in which he tosses two interceptions, they will go to Teddy in a heartbeat.
Okay. I'm going to put a question on top of that. Ring it, Richie. If that's the case, everything you just said, and I absolutely understand if Drew Lock wins the job, Teddy Bridgewater's the vet backup. I mean, that happens all the time.
Yeah.
Not a big deal. But like you just laid out, if Teddy Bridgewater wins the job... And now just think of it, because Rippon was the backup last year, okay? Brett Rippon was the backup for the Denver Broncos the vast majority of the year last year.
Good.
If Teddy Bridgewater wins the job, wouldn't you really be better off erasing any kind of confusion like we're talking about by simply dealing Drew Lock?
No, definitely not. Who's a better quarterback, Brett Rippon or Drew Lock?
Drew Lock.
Okay.
But I could name you 50 better quarterbacks as backups than Brett Rippon that the Broncos kept around last year.
Sure, but they're not on our roster right now, and Drew Lock isn't expensive. There's no reason in the world to get rid of Drew Lock. It's not like when Drew was coming out of his rookie year and he played really good football, but it wasn't enough to know for a fact that he's your guy. If you brought in a top tier name in that room, it would have split the locker room. There would have been a huge divide. It would have been major controversy. If Teddy Bridgewater wins the job, that locker room's going to look at it like, hey, Drew, you threw 15 interceptions last year.
You got a bit of a problem there with that statement. I'm not saying you're wrong, but do these guys really have Drew Lock's back or not? And I'll give you another example.
When you say these guys, who do you mean?
The players on the team. I'll give you another specific example.
No, they don't.
I know when Brian Griese was named the starter over Bubby Brister, it was a major problem inside of the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
The players had a problem with it, and Mike Shanahan, years later, has admitted, I wouldn't do it that same way. We needed just a little bit more time to massage it. Well, that's because everybody expected Bubby to be the starter because he had been with the team. Well, what's the difference with Drew Locke? He was a starter. He was with the team. Why wouldn't there be, you know, bad feelings?
It's a good question. No, they don't have his back, and we already know that based off the offseason, based off the comments that they've said publicly, based off the way that guys on their own team have publicly campaigned for other quarterbacks. They don't have his back like that.
Ray and Richie.
All right, we got a little bit sidetracked today because we had some breaking news, but we were going to kind of go over all of the Fan Film Room games that we've reviewed so far. So I'll ask you this. We've watched five games. You have to pick a starter right now. You don't have training camp. Who are you picking?
Who am I? My D-Mac or my Vic Fangio?
You're D-Mac. You're D-Mac.
I'm D-Mac. It's Drew Locke because I think the upside and the long-term view of things is ultimately better because I'm D-Mac and I'm around for a while. Just give me a guaranteed contract.
Okay, but you're an actual head coach. So just you're a real head coach and you've got
your job on the line.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm starting Teddy Bridgewater.
Okay.
It's two different things. It's two different reasons. There's much more upside. Look at the last game we just looked at. There's a dynamic element to Drew Locke that Teddy Bridgewater doesn't have.
Yeah.
There's an attitude, mentality, a gunslinger sort of thing that if we're talking about winning championships and leading teams from behind, come from behind victories, that is the essence of John Elway. Teddy Bridgewater does not have that. However, Teddy Bridgewater is a steady hand, and Brad Johnson won a Super Bowl. Okay? It can happen that way, too. Jim McMahon was not a great quarterback, okay? But he played for the Chicago Bears with, like, the greatest defense in the world. Peyton Manning had a historically horrible season for Peyton Manning, but because of the defense, you were able to overcome it. So you can get to the same result two different ways. So if I'm Vic Fangio, it's Teddy Bridgewater. If I'm looking towards the future, it's Drew Locke.
Mm-hmm. I agree with both of your statements. If I'm Vic Fangio, I'm probably picking Teddy Bridgewater. However, if I'm Tyler Palumbis, I'm a little bit of a gambler. Look, the difference between Teddy and Drew Locke is very, very small. Here's the difference. Teddy is not going to win you any extra games. Drew Locke can win you extra games, but Drew Locke also can lose you three or four games with interceptions. Teddy's probably not going to do that. That's the difference. Now, me, Tyler, I'm a little bit of a gambler. I would go towards the side that says, I'm picking the guy that I think gives me the most upside, and I'm going to coach the bad stuff out of him, and I'm going to hope that Drew Locke can win me two or three games and get the bad stuff out of it. So it's a small difference, but I still believe there's more upside with Drew.
Yeah, and two, at the end of the day, when you guys won your Super Bowl in 2015, Vaughn, first of all, was out of this world. So Marcus Ware, not quite the same player, but really, really important, and more or less was healthy enough to contribute the whole season. Malik Jackson was spectacular. Danny Trevathan was incredible. You had the no-fly zone. I mean, that was a special defense. It was absurd. Is the Broncos defense like that this year?
My expectation is yes. There's no reason why it should not be.
Well, maybe it could work with Teddy Bridgewater then. Maybe it really could. And by the way, what we're really saying here is Vic Fangio will be going with Teddy Bridgewater. Won't be surprised if he doesn't. Ring it, Richie. Okay, Pat Surtain, the second, was asked, does he feel the heat from the outside that it was him, not Justin Fields, that was selected by the Broncos?
Oh, yeah, I heard it before. But, you know, I try to cancel all that noise. You know, I just got to go out there and compete and make them think wrong.
Big deal or not a big deal for Pat Surtain to be compared in terms of value to Justin Simmons while he's here with the Broncos?
Not a big deal at all. I know you meant Justin Fields there, but...
Oh, what did I say?
You said Justin Simmons. No big deal. I was just clarifying it for you.
Yes,
definitely not a big deal for Pat Surtain. He is going to have to answer these questions maybe for a month or two, and then he will never think about it again. We will talk about it. You and I will sit here and compare Drew Locke to Justin Fields and Mac Jones or Teddy Bridgewater. I personally, you probably will, I personally will never, ever compare Pat Surtain versus other quarterbacks. And Pat, over the course of his career, he's going to compare himself against the guys that are the best in the world at what he does. So when he's looking for contract time, he doesn't care about Justin Fields. He cares about other corners. He's going to compare himself to the performance of other corners. He won't think about Justin Fields the rest of his career.
Well, I'm not going to change my mind that it was a mistake to take a cornerback. I don't even want to use his name because it's got nothing to do with him. Positionally, it was a mistake to take a cornerback when you could have taken a quarterback, specifically Justin Fields. But that being said, it's not as glaringly obvious. I mean, it's bad, but it's not like 2018 when it was just like smash you in the face obvious. It's tricky. It's more complicated.
What's the difference? I guess I would challenge you on that a little bit.
The quarterback situation that exists with Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater.
What quarterback situation? We've got a 50-50 situation.
No, we had nobody. We had Case Keenum.
Who do we have right now? We've got a 50-50 coin flip.
Well, okay. In my opinion, it was more treacherous with Case Keenum and nobody else rather than
Teddy Bridgewater. I would disagree with you on that.
Okay,
I mean, Case Keenum was coming off best season he'd ever had. You had hope with Case Keenum that he could have been the guy. Right now, we've got the decision 2.0.
Case Keenum was so...
I'm actually surprised that you don't feel like
Keenum
it's the exact same thing.
Keenum was so obvious, smoke and mirrors, riding off a ridiculous run. And it would have been fine for a year if you wanted to bring up Josh Allen and sit him on the bench for 7-8 games while Case Keenum did it. But to think that it was... And it really... I was shocked that Elway really actually did think Keenum had many more years left in him. I actually could not believe it when that ultimately came out. So nobody believes that Teddy Bridgewater has, you know, more time going.
That's my point. That's
well,
my entire point.
I can't account for... I think. Hold on. I think a possible future with Teddy Bridgewater is far brighter than a future with Case Keenum.
Oh, okay. All right. Fair enough.
But that being said, I think it's a 1 year for...
Fair enough.
Bring it, Richie. Is that it? One more.
I got one more.
No.
Broncos have officially cut Juwan James, which implies that they are not going to be paying him his salary. They have now officially voided his contract. That's what it means when you cut him off the NFI. You have voided that contract. They are going to do everything in their power to pay as little as they possibly have to Juwan James. Now, Deshaun Hamilton had a very interesting situation just happen. He was allegedly going to be released yesterday. Then he was on the trade block. As of this morning, he was still on the Denver Broncos roster. We learned today that he tore his ACL. It's a very, very similar situation. He was a part of the boycott, not participating in the workouts. Will the Broncos pay Deshaun Hamilton, or will they do the same thing they're doing to Juwan James?
I think they will be kind to Deshaun Hamilton, and my guess is percentage-wise, they'll take care of Deshaun more than they will Juwan James.
Yeah. They don't have any real beef with Deshaun Hamilton. Now, he didn't really materialize. He didn't become the player that maybe you hoped he would be, but he did produce a little bit for you. He was never a problem. He never quit on you. You didn't have any... there were no vendettas. It's just a player that didn't work out.
Right.
So I do think that they'll probably pay him.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch. Ring it, Richie. Wrap it up. Oh, Richie getting ripped on the text line. Wow. Get to that in a sec. Yeah. Yeah, buddy. But first, MLB The Show is now available for PlayStation and Xbox consoles at theshow.com. Caller 4 now wins a copy of MLB The Show 21 for PlayStation 5. And Richie's going to have to take that phone call, but just a second. Just call. Richie will get to you in a second. Would you like to hear this text?
Yeah.
No Offense Friday, sure. Ripping on Richie. I mean, usually it's me, mostly. Sometimes Tyler. Richie getting ripped on the text line like never happens. I mean, look at him.
Beautiful. It's like James Palmer.
Incredible. Vic Fangio compared why they are practicing today and its importance because he saw military fighter pilots flying over the practice today and more or less said, hey, in order to fly with such precision, they had to practice. Okay? Richie got all tizzied up. and said, I'm sick of these dumb sports cliches with comparisons to the military for anything. Richie, am I more or less getting that right? Am I?
That is correct.
Okay. Here's Richie getting ripped on the No Offense Friday on the text line. Okay. And now Richie is taking phone calls. He does it all.
Richie.
It's amazing.
Richie was out of his element on this one. He was. Vic Fangio was never comparing his team to the military. He was saying that his team could learn from the military.
Did you write the text?
On everything, I've not read the text. I have no idea what text you're going to read.
Richie, all he did was use what the whole team just saw, just flying over, and took that to make a point about the team needing practice. With several vets deciding not to practice at the NFLPA suggestion, it was perfectly fine to use what was available. Jets.
Yeah.
It could have been anything, like next door at the courthouse. That's funny. He could have used the lawyers needing lots of practice to get better. He just happened to use what the whole team just saw. You are wound way too tightly, dude.
Agreed. Out of your element, bro.
Well, listen, I'll concede that I might have been wound a little too tight on that particular issue, but he could have used any analogy that he wanted. He didn't. He chose to make the comparison to fighter pilots and how they need to structure their grind around the way that these fighter pilots do it, because they need to have the coordination and the tandem skills that these fighter pilots have. Are you going to lie to me and say that that's not what he was saying?
Well, if anything, he's just simply giving a compliment to the military and saying, hey, if we could work the way that they work, we might have a fighting chance at this.
Okay, true or false? Let's just make this easy. True or false? Do NFL and professional sports players, coaches, teams, and even media members to a certain extent compare professional sports and athletes to military members, to war, to things that don't
really anybody that
correlate.
Does that is an idiot. So I'm going to say false.
You don't think that happens?
No, Richie's he's trying to make an argument, kind of going in a sideways direction. Yes, it obviously happens, but that's not what Fangio was doing. He was looking at a skill set,
yeah.
And like the texture pointed out, he could have been talking about the guys that take care of the lawn, the field, which they do an incredible job.
Sure.
This guy's saying the lawyers over at Arapahoe County Courthouse, and who knows who they're defending from a variety of people. That's what he was saying. But I understand your point, too. Because you were triggered as soon as you heard a sports guy invoking anything to do with the military.
Yes, I just feel like it happens far too often. And this text
It probably does.
This text making fun of me did just come in. But if you go back up to 3:30.
So what is wrong with an analogy to the way that the military works and saying, boy, if we could put in that kind of effort, that kind of discipline, we would be a pretty dang good football team.
Well, the answer is nothing.
Thank you.
But that's not what I was saying, because I don't necessarily I'm not just going to blanketly say that's what Fangio was doing.
No, you went kind of another step. So you're both right, by the way. But you just took something.
Oh, Richie assumed a lot out of the statement that was not true.
Richie took.
Why didn't he use the courthouse analogy across the street?
Because there were fighter jets that just went over his head.
What he really was doing, the texter pointed out, which I actually thought was clever on the texter's part, is Fangio was taking a shot at the NFLPA and the Broncos veterans who have not been around. He was. And that, I didn't even think of that. So let's just get off the whole military thing. But what he was really saying is, how do we expect to be as good as we possibly could be when we're not all together? He was saying that.
Sure.
So that's the first kind of, I could just play it here. I mean, here we go.
We just had
listen,
about five
closely,
jets
Richie.
From the military, I assume, fly over our field here towards the end of our walkthrough. And they came out all stacked up real close together. They split out. And then impressively, they turned around and came back past the practice field all in single file now. And my first thought when I saw all that was, man, that had to take a lot of practice. And that practice developed a lot of trust between those five pilots. Because they were flying close together for a while. So that's what we need to do. We need to have a lot of practice so these guys can trust each other, the guy next to him, the guy next to him, all through the 11 positions on the team. So we need practice, just like those pilots needed it. And there's a fine line there. You know, we could avoid 100% of injuries if we don't practice ever. But I guarantee it'd show up for the game, and there'd be a million injuries in the game then. So we need the practice, and we're going to be smart with it and move forward.
I actually think that's one of the better things he said since being a head coach.
Richie's out of his element.
I don't think I am. You can keep quoting the Big Lebowski if you want to drive that point home, but I really feel like...
Well, I didn't say Donnie, did I?
You were thinking it.
Yeah, well, you're right, I was, but I never said Donnie.
You were thinking, the text line's picking it up for you, too. So mission accomplished. But I maintain that he could have used any other profession. He chose the military thing on purpose.
Well, this is a great question about the NFL and football. We've had this conversation a million times. Like, what do you really need to do to be prepared? How much time do you need? Because essentially, every single time you get out on a football field, it could be the end of your career.
Oh, yeah.
It's dangerous. But then again, so is flying a fighter plane. It's dangerous.
Equally.
He didn't say equally.
He didn't say that, nor did he imply it, nor did he infer it. There was nothing along those lines.
Yeah.
Nothing.
He was just saying, look at somebody, look at a profession. And he just looked up, so it was easy.
And he heard them.
That do something very difficult with precision together, teamwork. We got to be like that too. And he's right. And the problem is, because of this dumb protest, the Denver Broncos, who went 5-11 last year, despite the fact that these workouts, Tyler, are, you know, kind of loose or whatever, they're missing out on time together, whatever that time is.
And you're a bad football team. You're not a good football team.
Nate Jackson talked about it. You guys have said
some teams can go without an offseason. Sure. There are veteran teams out there that would not be affected by a boycott. They could come out and win a lot of games. Guess what? Broncos, you've sucked for a long time now, and you need the practice. And it is impossible to get better without the practice. So absolutely, you're missing an opportunity to get better.
You know what?
To be fair, they have not missed a practice yet. So I want to keep it fully fair here. If they show up for OTAs, it's not as big of a deal.
Okay, but what I think Fangio is saying is that even small things matter, and the more time that you can spend together where you can build trust is a positive thing. And
sure,
we need it.
Yeah, I wouldn't fight that at all.
So we're on the same page. Richie, why don't we call up James Merrillat and you can both together rip Vic Fangio, especially when it's really not needed in this point.
You know, I got to be honest with you. I do find myself sounding and feeling like, I don't know what's happening, but I feel a change happening inside of me. It's noticeable.
I know why. I do know why, personally.
There's nothing wrong with being a vegan, Richie.
I'm primarily plant-based. Excuse you.
All right. What a night last night. We'll put everything in perspective. Congratulations to the Avalanche. This is the Drive on the Fan.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbis and T-Mac.
You know, I'm just thinking back to last night and thinking about what an amazing place this is and how I would never want to leave Denver, Colorado.
Right, right.
Our three local teams that we all care about the most all won last night.
Boom. Sports NATO taken care of. Let's go.
Wasn't that amazing? And, you know, I don't know if that happens in New York or Los Angeles all that often.
Dumb Bednar barely knew what he was doing.
It happened here. Oh, you want to go back to that?
Of course, I was going to have to be held accountable for it today.
Hey, you got to respond to our guy Mike Evans.
Oh, I didn't hear him.
Oh, he was killing you.
Oh, what'd he say?
He was lumping in you with Merrillat, saying you're the negative nabobs of negativity. Whatever Sandy would say.
Hey, it worked out. Good for him. He's a good coach. Clearly, he knew what he was doing. I would have played my best guys. Doesn't matter now. He clearly did the right thing.
Yeah, by the way, Adrian Dater, who made a point of cursing on Twitter and then saying he's followed the team for 26 years, so he has the right to do that in a very enthusiastic, supportive way.
Sure.
Had doubts about that move as well. But The way I couched it was, well, we'll see, but we should probably trust the guy that has taken the team from, you know, the depths of despair not that long ago to the best team in the NHL.
Hey, fair enough. He has certainly earned that right and got him there, got the game won, got the President's Trophy, got the home ice. You got it all, man.
He read it the right way.
I actually watched a little bit of the Rockies last night. I was watching them dominate.
What inning?
I think it was up to like the fifth when they were up 8-0.
Yeah.
And I tuned it out at that point.
Yeah.
But it turns out that it got close after that.
Yeah, we have one of our college kids home for just a little bit. And the game was on. And we're having dinner and we're talking and whatever. And it's 10-0. And I'm like, oh, this is Gilbreth, something. Sorry, I'm screwing his name up. He went to Legacy High School. I'm pointing that out to my son. Okay. And he gave up a 2-run homer, and they took him out. I'm like, yeah, that sucks. That stinks. All right, anyways. And then, like, we just got into our conversation, and we weren't really paying attention.
Yeah, because you thought it was over.
Of course. Uh-huh. I mean, it's the eighth inning. I'm just like, this is done. Oh, he gave up a 2-run homer, local kid. That kind of stinks. But, you know, oh, well, you know. I kind of turn over like 5 minutes later, and I'm just like, wait, what the hell's going on?
I don't know, nuts, dude. Well, Rockies do Rockies things. Snug it out, though.
But they gave up 8, and then they scored 3, and they, you know, win by 5, and it's Coors Field, and that's the way it goes.
Yes.
So you don't pack it in there at old Coors Field. And then the Nuggets, listen, man, they just don't know how to do anything except for win.
I love it.
That's all they do. They don't even...
I think there's a song about that. All we do is win.
All they do is win, and apparently all they do is play Jokic. And Malone, I don't think Malone really all cared that much. I think they're fine being the 4 seed. I think we're all fine, more or less, being the 4 seed. I don't think there's a gargantuan advantage about being the 3 seed in this circumstance, and they're just giving it a run.
Doing their deal, man. It's fantastic because if you get to this point where you don't really care if you win the last couple games or not and you're still winning them, that's clearly a good sign. That's not a bad thing. That's a great thing.
Yeah. And
your team's just playing great basketball.
Yeah. They go again here tonight, and I don't know. They'll probably win tonight, too. They just can't help it.
Perfect.
Yeah. And, you know, it's what's the deal? So they have the tiebreaker over the Clippers. So if they win out and the Clippers lose 1, well, then obviously they'd win by a game. But even if they tie with the Clippers, they beat the Clippers. They're the 3 seed, which is exactly where they were last year.
Yep. So, look, you got to the point in the playoffs where nobody really thought they were going to be able to make any noise, and my expectations have changed. Why would I feel any different about the playoffs than the way that they played over the last 3-4 weeks? I'm ready for them to make some noise. Let's go. Let's have some fun.
Yeah, by the way, at some point it's got to cool off for the Lakers, and they've been without LeBron for a long time. They're just kind of scraping to get in at this point, and I'm not freaked out by them at all. It's
not like it felt a month or two ago.
No. A month or two ago it felt like, they're arresting LeBron on purpose. They're still wicked dangerous. We're probably going to meet them in the first round. That sucks. Now it feels like, who cares?
Right.
Let's go. And seriously, is anybody out there really that intimidated by Utah or Phoenix? Really? Dude, I think it's I think the Clippers are the biggest challenge.
Nah, just put it this way. Nuggets have got a fighting chance no matter who they're playing up against.
It's crazy.
They could lose. You can make an argument that they should lose just about any series against any of these teams. You could easily make the argument that they could and that they will win against any of these teams as well, which is great. To be where we're at right now after you lost Jamal Murray and feel like, yeah, you've got a legitimate crack at making some noise in the playoffs. Mike Malone, man, hats off to him.
Look at us. Look at how positive we are here. Everybody wants to rip us about being negative. What are you talking about?
Well, it's easy when teams win.
Yeah, man. This is what happens.
Hey, Broncos, start winning.
Well, they won rookie minicamp today because
they did.
Nobody got carted off for the entire season. Nobody got the Jeff Hireman.
Well, that's good. There was no 11-on-11 football going on, but it's good that nobody got hurt in individual drills.
Do you remember what the drill was that Jeff Hireman got hurt on?
Wasn't it special teams or something?
It was.
Yeah.
Good memory. It was
kickoff, something like that.
That's exactly what it was. It was kickoff coverage, first drill, running full speed.
Right.
Out for the year.
Well, that was good year.
I mean, there's a lot of dumb injuries out there, but you get hurt on the very first drill of the year, just running down the field in non-contact.
Can't be a good feeling.
Yeah. Whatever happened to Jeff Heuermann?
Jeff Heuermann snuck around for a whole lot longer than I was going to. He even got himself a second contract. Jeff Heuermann did a whole lot better than I thought he was going to.
Jeff Heuermann is a millionaire somewhere.
Yes.
Way to go, Jeff. Well, there you go. The rookies come to town, and they'll have a weekend filled with it was funny listening to Coach Fangio, like, wow, we can't even do team because we don't have any defensive linemen.
Don't have enough bodies. That's the way that these rookie minicamps go, man.
And they're breaking down, like, practice, and I'm like, really wondering what even happens in these. Is it just about, hey, here's who we are, here's my name, you know?
Just a bunch of individual drills. You go out there, you see if the guys that can pick up the X's and O's, you go out there, play on trash cans, run some routes. Nothing too serious, dude. It's nothing that you're going to be losing sleep over if you're out there playing.
We got some dude, Cody.
Pretty hard to make an impression, though, if you're that rookie that got the invite for rookie camp only, and, right. and you got to make an impression right. in order to make the roster.
Right.
Pretty tough to make the impression going up against trash cans.
Well, basically impossible because they're not even going to allow it. They're trying to tell them to chill out.
Right.
You know, my hair would be on fire. If I was one of those dudes, I got 3 days. I mean, it's the Super Bowl every single day, but, you know, they're not even allowed to do it. Although, you know, the one guy who actually could do something is the dude, Cody something or other, the quarterback from Northern Arizona who they brought in just to throw footballs around for the past next 3 days. I mean, he gets a little bit of a chance.
I guess. Not much.
No. So there we go. We got it all going on. It's exciting. I love it. All right, well, for all the latest going on, especially with Aaron Rodgers, our guy John Clayton will join us next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbis and T-Mac.
All right, we're joined by John Clayton, our 104.3 The Fan senior Broncos writer for DenverFan.com, courtesy of Flesh and Beck Law Injury Attorneys. So Matt LaFleur said that he wants Aaron Rodgers back in the worst way. That's probably true. How is the vibe there in Green Bay about that situation?
Well, Aaron Rodgers wants out of there in the worst of face. So
perfect.
You can see it's not going well. It's one where you can look at and you can see that I still really question whether Aaron's going to go back. You know, because again, it's like he wants more longevity and security, and he may not have that as long as Jordan Love's on the team. And right now, I can't see them trading Jordan Love. I think that they made the mistake by getting up there. And so the fact that he's told his teammates he's not going to be there, the fact that he hasn't backed down, I know it's early, but I still think in the end he's going to force a trade. Now the question can be, is it going to be August, September, October? But I don't see him going back.
John, it feels like both sides are trying to win the vote of the public opinion right now. I guess I'm curious your thoughts on who looks like the bad guy right now, the Packers or Aaron Rodgers?
Well, I mean, I'm sure in Green Bay it's probably Aaron Rodgers because he's the one wanting to get out of Green Bay. And you know how local fans are going to be. They're going to be upset with the guy that wants to get out of there. But in reality, when you look at the big picture, it has to be Packers front office because the Packers front office didn't tell Aaron that they were going to take a quarterback in the first round. Didn't back down from that, didn't get him any talent in the receiver position last year, waited to the third round this year to get somebody, and then to make matters worse, they bring in Blake Bortles. So it's like, oh, okay, so or how much are you going to pay him as an insurance policy in case Jordan Love isn't there? So, I mean, the big picture shows it as being the Packer management, but also what you're looking at in the fans is probably going to be Aaron Rodgers because it was no different when Brett Favre wanted to get out of there.
The Packers ownership is, of course, unique to the NFL. How does that impact decisions like this?
Doesn't impact whatsoever because, again, it's all fan-driven and, you know, there is no owner or anything like that. I mean, the owners are basically the fans. In fact, my wife even owns shares in the Packers, and so and she doesn't like Aaron Rodgers. But
wow. Yeah, isn't okay. That, that's she a Jordan amazing. Love fan? Or
She doesn't like Jordan Love. She doesn't know anything about Jordan Love. Nobody really does. But other than what the general manager said is that he's got a long way to go. It's like, oh, nice. That's a good way to phrase it. But no, it's like they have no voice. And so basically it's the people in the front office, you know, the Mark Murphys, who's the president and the general manager and the coach. I mean, they're the ones that run the ship because, you know, it's internally done that way. It's different than any other team in football because the owners are so spread out.
John, coming back to the Broncos here, Vic Fangio has said that the quarterbacks will split it 50-50. Who takes the first snap? Who's really in the lead right now?
You know, the first snap, I don't know if that's going to mean he's going to be in the lead, but it's probably going to be Drew Locke because he's been there and he knows the offense. So he'll get the first snap. And then Teddy Bridgewater, who I think has a great chance of beating him out because I think he's a better quarterback, you know, then he'll kind of match up and then you kind of go back and forth. But what I'm kind of wondering about, you know, because now you got the competition at the quarterback position. You got Patrick Surtain with three experienced cornerbacks out there. They were paid good money. Then you look over now they and Cameron Fleming mm-hmm. is like, this is going to be one competitive camp.
It's a 50-50 decision at quarterback. So, yeah. Obviously, somebody wins at some point. Okay. But in 50-50 competitions where it's a virtual coin toss that Vic Fangio joked around today, I get it. You got to pick one guy. But does that mean you have to stick with that guy once the season starts? Or are we really looking at a 50-50 whole season audition top to bottom?
No, I think you see how camp goes. You see how the three preseason games go. Then you make a determination who looked better in practice, who looked better in the preseason outings. And then you make a decision what's best for your team at quarterback. And if Drew Locke picks up his game and it seems like some of the players are saying he seems to be more into it this year, you know, that could be encouraging for Drew. But also, you know, Teddy comes in with more experience and, you know, the chance to beat him out. But no, I think you just go through the normal process and best man wins.
All right. Thank you, John. We appreciate it. John Clayton, our 104.3 The Fan, Denver Broncos insider for DenverFan.com, courtesy of Flesh and Beck Law Injury Attorneys. All right, Tyler, in terms of what John was saying, I have been thinking about that. I did have my hand raised in the Zoom call today. I did not get called upon.
Mm, shocker.
Well, I raised my hand when the question was asked about the quarterback competition and the 50-50 thing.
Sure.
And that's what I was going to ask, what I just asked John to Vic Fangio, meaning, well, I get it. You got to pick somebody, obviously, at some point. Does that mean they're the guy? And in most situations, when you pick your starting quarterback, in most NFL situations, that is the guy right. Until they get hurt. Even to the degree that they play poorly, you generally let them play through it unless it's some sort of absurd train wreck or more likely injury. Do you think that will be the case this year?
I do not. If Teddy Bridgewater wins the job, I do not see them going back and forth. If Drew Locke wins the job, I could see them easily pulling Drew Locke like in a heartbeat after two games, three games, whatever it might be. If he goes out there and he tosses two or three interceptions in the first handful of games, yes, I could see them easily going to Teddy. However, if Teddy is the original starter, I would be shocked if they turned to Drew Locke. Outside of, I guess, just overall wins and losses for the team, I suppose there's always a situation where you need some sort of spark, but what is it that you're going to turn to Drew Locke for in that situation? Whereas with Teddy, you could see a million reasons why you would turn to Teddy if Drew Locke was the starter.
You know, if we go back to when Mark Sanchez was here during training camp, okay. Once it became obvious it wasn't going to be Mark Sanchez, that's right. I think they did the smart thing because they just took that possibility off the table that, oh, well, Mark will come to the rescue. Pretty bold move. You certainly wouldn't do it with Teddy Bridgewater. There's no way. You're just paying him too much money. But could you see a scenario where Teddy does win the job? He is our guy. We're going to trade or move on or do something with Drew so we don't have to have sort of a back and forth sort of situation?
No, because it's not that type of threat, nor is it nor is there a lack of upside with Drew Locke like there was with Mark Sanchez. Mark, there wasn't a whole lot of upside there. With Drew Locke, you've still got the upside. And you still, with Drew, I would hold on to Drew until there's no reason not to, and until you've got the full-time starter. And even then, hey man, if Drew Locke could be your backup quarterback, he's still on a rookie deal, why wouldn't you make Drew Locke your backup quarterback? I don't see any reason to get rid of
Well,
Drew.
I'll give you a devil's advocate. There'll be whispers if Teddy Bridgewater isn't playing that well, the team isn't playing that well. Do you either care about that or you don't care about it.
Think Vic Fangio's going to care about it.
Last year, they did care about it. They didn't bring in any kind of competition. There were no whispers like that. None of us were sitting here saying, oh, you know, we really should play Rippin or Driscoll. They did that on purpose.
Yeah, but you know it's different when you're trying to protect the young guy who's trying to build the support of his teammates, that's trying to rally the troops, that's trying to build his own confidence, all those sorts of things. That's a way different situation than you've got with Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater isn't going to feel the threat of Drew Locke. Teddy Bridgewater's got his own threat. This is his last opportunity. So I just don't view it in a similar light as I did with Drew Locke, whereas with Drew last year, he was coming off of a great offseason. There was nothing but excitement. If you brought in a big name, it would have been a distraction. The locker room would have become divided, and you didn't want to do that.
You know, overall today, I felt so encouraged and optimistic. You know, we're in the state. There's a changing of some of the COVID protocols that are going on. Some of the restaurants are going to be open a little bit more. People are feeling more positive about things. The Avalanche win. They start in the playoffs on Monday. The Nuggets just win, even if they're not trying. Even our Rockies didn't let a 10-1.
Stuck it out.
They hung in there. And I love it when the rookies come here. Because I always am thrilled when somebody gets to fulfill like a lifelong dream. And man, I always get excited when these dudes, you know, arrive in town and they're wearing their, you know, NFL jerseys for the first time. I'm pumped for them. It's always optimistic and exciting to me.
Sure. I don't know that I feel that much optimism from a non-padded, non-11-on-11 football, but okay, sure, good for you. Those guys are out there playing trash can football right now. I don't have too much optimism going on.
I'm just talking about congratulations to them, sure, man. You got a bunch of rookies here. You got here.
Sure.
You did it. You know, Vic Fangio says, I thought something really interesting. He goes, well, what are there, like 800 football teams out there in college, and every team's got, you know, 90 to 100 guys. And then you go from that down to 32 teams where there's guys in their 30s still playing this game.
Yeah, not many jobs out there.
Dude, way to go, guys. And best of luck this weekend. Let's hope there's no dumb injuries out there. And I'm fired up. And we'll see with Aaron Rodgers. Kind of a little smoke show going on in Green Bay right now. They're trying to pump him up. They're trying to say he's the man.
They're playing the game. Both sides are playing it right now.
Hopefully Rodgers stays ticked off and wants to come here. But in the meantime, we're staring down the barrel of a 50-50 coin flip decision between Drew Locke and Teddy Bridgewater.
Doesn't that sound awesome?
It's not going to be boring. Nick and Cecil coming up next on The Fan.